Welcome to the Grace-Based Family Podcast.
We're your hosts,
Karis Murray
and Michelle Brook. This is a podcast where we look at the power of grace in the everyday lives of families.
We're excited for you to listen in on the conversation.
Hi, Karis.
Hey, Michelle.
I am excited for today because I have been Googling this topic for a couple of weeks about how to talk to my young boys about this. So today we're going to be talking with Dan Martin about how to talk about pornography and masturbation with your children. A real light topic.
Yeah, light. And it's one of those things where you do sit back and you go, should I Google this?
Oh, well, that's what I said. I was very nervous.
Is that a good idea?
Yeah.
What's gonna come up on the screen if I do?
Let me clarify. I wasn't Googling porn. I was Googling how to talk to your kids from a biblical perspective.
But it can be so hard to find helpful information from a biblical standpoint. And I know that this is something that parents wonder about. Mm-hmm. I know that it's something that maybe us in our own lives have had a lot of maybe shame or guilt placed on us. And so it puts us sometimes in a position of weakness and just brokenness in how to talk to our own kids about this. So we're so excited to have our guest today.
Yes.
Why don't you introduce him to us, because he's just going to offer some really incredible hope.
Absolutely. So today we're speaking with Dan Martin. He's the Director of Training and Partnerships at Pure Hope. And he speaks all the time on topics addressing family, parenting, marriage, God's story for sex, and how to handle that in this digital age. He really believes that God has the better story when it comes to sex, and we can communicate that to our kids confidently, peacefully, and effectively, and really equip the next generation. We've known Dan here at Grace-Based Families for probably more than a decade, and he is a great advocate of ours. He's on our speaker team, and so he loves the Grace message. And he and his wife Kathy live in Dallas, and they have three adult children, and now he has reached the holy of holies, as Tim Kimmel says, as a grandparent. So Welcome, Dan. We're glad to have you.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. Yeah, I'm thrilled to be able to talk with you guys and talk about what I think is a really important topic for us to discuss, and so many parents are dealing with these issues. And Michelle, like you said, you know, where do you go for help? You Google this? What do you do? There's not a whole lot of resources to find. So that's kind of what our ministry does, and really trying to partner with churches and other ministries to help them find solutions to equip parents.
Mm-hmm. So Dan, can you back up just a little bit? How did we first come in contact with you? I know you've been friends with Tim Kimmel for a while. Can you kind of explain our partnership?
Sure. Yeah. I've been on staff at a church kind of off and on for a number of years, one church in particular in the Dallas area. And so twice I have brought Tim to speak at our church and do the Grace-Based Parenting message. We've had a couple of those at our church, and just was able to strike up a friendship with Tim through that. And then I think it was maybe 7 or 8 years ago, I came out to Phoenix and spent 2 or 3 days with everybody there, and went through some of the ambassador training that you all were doing to become part of the speaker team. And so I've had the privilege of giving the Grace-Based Parenting message at a few different churches and spreading that message. So yeah, it's been a great friendship. Pure Hope has, we've had Tim come to Cincinnati, which is where Pure Hope's headquarters are. And we've had him speak at our annual banquet, and it's been a great partnership, great friendship, and thrilled to be on board with you guys in those ways.
Well, Dan, I know a lot of the parents that are our listeners are thinking, okay, how, and also when should we start having these conversations with our kids? Yeah. I think maybe even people are in a place where they're thinking, oh, we're supposed to talk to our kids about this? Because my parents never, you know, they might be their own history. They're thinking, my parents never talked to me about this stuff. I didn't realize I should be talking to my kids. And then beyond that, how do you do that? And when do you bring this up? And so I'm sure you have kind of a, you know, some recommendations and maybe even a little bit of a roadmap for parents.
Yeah, and rather than starting with the how and the when, let me start with the why. Because I think the why will really be a motivator for us. And the why is, I alluded to this at, you know, in the, or Michelle, when you were giving my introduction in my biography, we alluded to this. The why is, the world has a story that they're crafting to our kids when it comes to sex. And the Bible has a story, God has a story when it comes to sex. And as followers of Jesus, as people who, you know, who subscribe to a biblical truth, I believe wholeheartedly that we have a better story. And we have a better story to share with our kids. The problem is, so many of us as parents are not doing it. We're not sharing that story regularly. Or if we're sharing it at all, it's a one-time awkward conversation, you know, that happens over a weekend or whatever, and you kind of check it off the list.
Like, yeah.
Oh, good. I had that call. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So wipe the sweat from your brow and go, yes. Yeah, I did it. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. So the why for me is, the why is because we have a better story. And then we get into the how and the when. And when it comes to the when, like, when should I start talking to my kids about sex? And I always kind of answer that question with another question, which really frustrates people, which is part of the reason why I do it. People will say, Dan, when should we start talking to our kids about sex? And my answer is the question, when does the world start talking to your kids about sex?
Yeah.
Because that is happening way younger and way earlier than any of us are comfortable with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you're waiting until you think your kids are ready, then you probably have missed the boat by about 5 or 10 years.
Wow. Lots of head nodding happening here in the studio. We're all sitting here going, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not that, hey, I want to start talking to my 3 or 4 year old about sex. It's not that I want to start doing that. It's that I need to start doing that because the world is already crafting a story. They're already, you know, through cartoons and through commercials and song lyrics and all different sources, our kids are being educated about sex every day, unless we've got them in some impenetrable bubble, which, by the way, I don't think exists. You know, our kids are getting messages about sex.
Yeah.
And so as parents, as storytellers who have a better story, we've got to start crafting that story very early. We've got to start doing it in a compelling way. And for a lot of us, that means we've got to understand God's story of sex better. That we need to really kind of spend some time understanding, what does the Bible have to say about these things? And I would say that there's probably not a book in the Bible that doesn't talk about sex in some way or another. Like, the Bible's not shy about sex. It starts with sex and it ends with sex in Revelation. And, you know, we see that in the marriage supper of the Lamb, and that metaphor that is used for sex all throughout Scripture. And so these conversations need to begin earlier and earlier, certainly earlier than any of us are comfortable with. And part of the confidence that we can have about, you know, crafting these stories and telling our kids even before they're in a position where we think they're ready is that we have the Bible on our side. We have truth on our side. Mm-hmm. There's a great passage in Joshua. It's Joshua chapter 8, verse 35. And it says that Joshua was reading the entire law before the people of Israel. And if you look at the law of Moses, there were all kinds of rules around sex, around appropriate relationships, and just some things that we would say would be very uncomfortable conversations. But what I love about that verse is it goes on to say, as Joshua was reading the entire law, that the women and the little ones were present. And when we look back at ancient Israel, they began giving the law to kids way before they would ever even begin thinking about a lot of these things, or certainly practicing these things. But it was to ingrain God's truth and God's commands and God's way, God's story, to their kids when they were very young. And I think for us, that's a model for us. I think we should, most of the time, we don't have these conversations because we're uncomfortable, because it's a conversation we don't want to have. What I have found is when parents engage in this, and even for me with my kids, we started when my kids were 5, 6 years old having these conversations. And if I were a parent today of a young child, I would start even earlier than that, just because of the messages that our kids are receiving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, we've heard from Tim Kimmel. He says, you know, the first message is the loudest. And so my husband and I have taken that to heart and have, you know, talked to our kids from a young age when, you know, neither of our parents ever talked to us about sex. Still to this day, I'm like waiting for the sex talk from my mom, right? I'm like 40 years old.
Me too. Yeah,
I'm like, is someone going to say something? No. I think I figured it out.
I feel like you should add, like, how funny would that be if you're like, Mom and Dad, I need you to give me the sex talk.
Yeah,
like, you never did it, and it's time.
It's 40 years overdue. But so we started like really young with our kids, and like you said, it's age appropriate. What we're talking to our 4-year-old is not the same as what we're saying to our 10-year-old. But our 10-year-old, when we started, you know, kind of trickling this on him, having this dialogue, we have these books that we recommend here at Grace Based Families. I'm sure there's a lot of great ones, but this is called God's Design for Sex, I believe. Mm-hmm. And there's 4 books, and they're based, you know, age appropriate. So we had gotten up to book 3 with my oldest last year. And that one, I mean, it's very clear. It starts talking about sexual transmitted diseases. I mean, all sorts of things in there. But all in the framework of God's design for sex. So I'm telling him this, and he's now getting to the point where he's now getting awkward. And I'm like, I'm so glad that we started this when he was like 6 or 7, because now that he's 10, he's like, are you serious? You're bringing out those books again. And I'm like, I'm not going to read it to you word for word, but I think we need to have another little dialogue
here. A
little
refresher.
Yeah. So he went to school and he said, I'm like, you can't share this with anybody because some parents have not talked to their kids about this. So he goes to school the next day. He's like, Mom, I talked to Jack. I'm like, no, what did you say? He's like, I told him we had the talk. I'm like, we've had the talk. We've been having the talk for 3 years. I don't understand. He's like, I told him I wasn't ready, but you keep forcing it on me. And guess what, Mom? I know we're at level 3. He said he's at level 8. I'm like, what level? He thinks, because there's these 4 books, right? So I said, we're on level 3 book. Like, we joke about it. I'm like, what's level 8? So I called Jack's mom. She's like, I don't know. I have no idea what you're talking about. So I'm like, tell me what Jack knows. I'll try to catch you up. Anyway, all that to say, for us, it's been pretty evident that the earlier we start, the less awkward it is.
Yeah. Yeah, because you can be matter of fact with little kids.
Yeah.
You know, often they ask a question, and for us, even just thinking about the question produces embarrassment or shame, anxiety. And honestly, it's just a straightforward question from them, and we can give them
a straightforward answer and just leave it at that, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, for so many parents, the conversation begins, for many people, it begins when something has happened.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, maybe the child has been exposed to pornography, or heaven forbid, the child was spending the night at a friend's house and something happened. Mm-hmm. And so for a lot of parents, the starting place for a conversation about sex is really on the terms of where the world is and on those terms, versus being able to start with a very young child and introducing them to this beautiful story, this beautiful narrative that we see in scripture, that God created. I mean, he created us as sexual beings, right? We shouldn't be ashamed of that. Mm-hmm. And we don't have to be ashamed of that. And when we introduce that to kids very early, we're coming from a place of truth rather than, and being on offense, as opposed to being on defense.
Right.
You know, here's what my kid's seen. You know, gosh, I guess I got to have the talk with them.
Right.
And It's just a tougher place to start.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when those conversations start, well, first of all, if this has happened to you, parent, yes, still have that conversation and don't, mm-hmm. you know, don't dwell in this. But when that right. conversation, I think, starts from a place of some kind of a negative experience or a trauma. I mean, exposing a child to pornography, first of all, is a crime. And second of all, is real trauma, right? Or yeah. if something, you know, like you said, they're at someone else's house and something happens, or they witness something happen, that's also a trauma. So it sets the stage yeah. for a negative association, even with these conversations. Right. And so we have to do sort of this uphill battle at that point, rather than starting early. And you're probably going to get more into this. I would love for you to get more into this. But I know that having these conversations with kids, the earlier the better, and that actually ends up protecting them.
Yeah.
Can have the effect of protecting them from a lot of these things that can come for yeah. them.
Well, and one of the things that we say all the time is that ignorance does not protect innocence.
Right.
And that's exactly right, because so many... You know, if
okay, and, stop and for I'm a not, second. Everybody, write that down. Ignorance does not protect innocence. That's so good. Yeah. Okay, thanks.
what I was going to say with that is that you know, just the, and I hate quoting stats. I'm not a stats guy, but we know that somewhere around 1 in 3 women are sexually abused before the age of 18.
Yeah.
And the number for boys is anywhere around 1 in 4 or 1 in 5, something like that. The vast majority of those abuses happen with a close family member. And so part of what you're saying, Karis, I think is so right on. Part of the reason we have these conversations is for our kids' protection. Some of the tools of abusers are secrets.
Yep.
They use shame mm-hmm. and fear as tactics to keep the kids silent. And so, you know, one of the things that we can do to help protect our kids is just to talk about things when they're very young, like appropriate touch
right.
and not keeping secrets.
Right.
And if someone touches you in an inappropriate place or in an inappropriate way, come tell mommy and daddy. You won't get in trouble. Mm-hmm. You know, that is all a way that we can help protect them. So I love that you brought that up.
Yeah, and I think imparting a deep sense of body autonomy is so mm-hmm. important in our kids, for both yeah. boys and girls, learning that their yes. body is theirs and it's God's, and
yes.
that they are allowed to protect themselves. They are allowed to say no or yes when they yes. want to, because that is, it's theirs. And so even things like, you know, relatives who, I mean, I'm a hugger. I love to hug everyone, but it really yeah. did make me think, like, I'm not going to force my girls to hug relatives, yeah. even well-meaning, wonderful relatives, if they don't want to. Because yeah. mm-hmm. the message that sends is, it's about the other person's feelings and not offending them. It's not
exactly.
about me and what I want.
Yeah, it's empowering to our kids when we do that. I have my oldest grandchild is my 3-year-old granddaughter.
Mm.
And I get a hug from her about 1 in every 10 requests.
Okay. Yeah. She's so a little withholding. Yeah.
She's yeah. And so I'll say, do I get a hug today? And
yeah.
most of the time it's no, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, she'll say no, thank you. And so I get a high five
yeah.
or I get a fist bump,
yeah.
you know. But every once in a while she'll say yes, you know, and she'll
yeah.
come hug me.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that her parents have done this great job of just empowering her
mm-hmm.
to understand boundaries
mm-hmm.
and also to that she's in charge of those.
Right. Yeah.
And if someone violates those, even if it's her grandfather
mm-hmm.
or her grandmother, you know, that she knows what that means. She has permission
yeah
to say no
yeah, yeah.
Dan, I know you kind of touched on this earlier. I'd love for you to elaborate. I mean, we are in such a digital age now. Mm-hmm. How can we help our kids navigate this over-sexualized culture when, like you said, they are seeing things 5 to 10 years earlier than people in our generation ever had access to? I keep going with three little boys. I'm struggling with the protection. How much do I equip them? How much do I get just rid of all TVs and devices in our house? Yeah. What does this practically look like for parents?
Well, let me answer that for you in the next 5 minutes.
Perfect. Good. Save me from all my awkward Google searches.
you're exactly right. I mean, 90% of first-time exposure to pornography is accidental. So it's not necessarily true that our kids are out looking for porn the first time. The porn's out looking for them. And it's accidental that the kids stumble on it, but it's not accidental that the producers of pornography are getting our kids to stumble upon it. So what we talk about at Pure Hope is we talk about a threefold strategy when it comes to, really when it comes to parenting, but especially the when it comes to technology and devices. And that the threefold model is protect, model, and equip. And so the protect is, hey, protect what you can. Mm-hmm. Karis, back to your point, you know, you were talking about how traumatic it is for a child to be exposed to pornography. I was talking with a friend of mine who's a child psychologist, and he specializes in pornography, kids who are addicted to pornography as early as 5 or 6 years old. And he said, Dan, when we treat a child who's addicted to pornography, he said, we don't treat necessarily for anything other than just we begin with trauma, because that child has had this traumatic experience and we've got to treat that.
Yeah.
And so it, as parents, it's not about protecting our kids from seeing pornography. They're probably, the statistics would tell us they're going to be exposed to pornography. They're going to see it. So what we need to help them with is, what do they do when they've seen pornography? It kind of speaks to that empowering piece. When they're exposed to pornography, and the way we bring that up with really young kids is we talk about appropriate and inappropriate pictures,
right?
Or we talk about pictures of people without their clothes on, where we've you know, we see that or somehow it came up on a computer screen or whatever. And the first empowering act that we give our kids is come tell me. And you won't get in trouble for that, but I want you to tell me. We don't want to live, any of us, especially with our kids, we don't want to live with secrets. We don't want to live in dark, and in giving our kids permission to tell us when they've seen that. Is kind of step number one. But as parents, we really need to protect as best we can and push that age of first exposure as far out as we possibly can. So instead of them seeing pornography at 7 or 8 years old, if I really do a good job of protecting, you know, my Wi-Fi, my devices that I have in my home, all of those things, maybe I can push that out to 12 or 13 years old. Yeah. When a child is much more able to process what they've seen and in a healthy way.
Yeah.
And so we do need to protect what we can, but also know that you can't create an impenetrable bubble. Our kids are going to be spending the night at a friend's house, or they're going to be in the locker room, or they're going to be walking down the hall and they're going to see pornography. The second part of that I talked about is modeling. And I think probably more important than protecting is what we're modeling for our kids. And you know, I think of, when I think of modeling, I think of a couple of stories. One is when my kids were at home, when we were watching TV together, and let's say, you know, an inappropriate commercial about, you know, Viagra or whatever it might be would come on TV, or you know, somebody was dressed inappropriately and very scantily, I would change the channels a lot of times, but I would always, and I say this to parents all the time, don't ever change the channel without telling your kids why you changed the channel.
Yeah.
And so the reason, what I would always say to my kids, the reason I changed the channel is because I don't need to see that. Mm-hmm. Because when I go to bed tonight, I'll be replaying that. I'll see that image again in my mind. Mm-hmm. And, you know, versus saying, I turned the channel because you don't need to see mm-hmm. that. I changed the channel because I don't need to yeah. see that. And really trying to model for them. And we at Pure Hope, we use language like pursuing purity. Mm-hmm. We don't stay pure, we pursue purity. Mm. Because none of us are pure.
Right.
So my pursuit of purity is something I want to share with my kids that, hey, this is something my dad and my mom have to do as well. Mm-hmm. Like they're modeling what it looks like to pursue purity in their lives. And one other quick story, when my oldest son went away to college, we gave him a laptop for graduation, which he was taken to school with him. And I didn't put any protection on it. It was out of the box, literally. Mm-hmm. And I did that for a reason. And I'll explain that reason to you as I tell this story. But so jump forward about 2 or 3 weeks after I gave him this laptop, he brings the laptop back to me. I'm in the living room, sitting in the living room, he says, "Hey Dad, would you put that program on my laptop?" Mm-hmm. And I was like, what program are you talking about? He said, "That program that you have on your laptop."
Yeah.
And the program he was talking about was Covenant Eyes.
Yeah.
And Covenant Eyes is a program that I've used for years just as a tool for helping me in my pursuit of purity. It doesn't keep me from going anywhere online, but what it does is it sends a report to a friend of mine mm-hmm. who gets my report every week and kind of sees where I've been online. And so he was asking me, as he's getting ready to go away to college, if I would put that program that I had on my computer on his computer.
Wow.
And I tell that story he had his own struggles and difficulties, but the reason I tell that story is because I think what I modeled for him and what I tried to model for him was so much more important than anything I tried to teach him or anything mm-hmm. I said to him. It would have been a completely different scenario if, let's say, I had put Covenant Eyes on his computer and I'd put all the filtering and, you know, software, and then he'd opened his computer and seen, oh, my dad's put, you know, all these programs. The fact that he was asking me for it kind of gets me to my third, you know, that third piece of the, I talked about protecting, I talked about modeling. And then that third kind of piece of that complete picture is to equip. And that's really equipping our kids so that when they're leaving home, they're equipped to have their own pursuit of purity, for them to really understand that. And, you know, as a dad who has launched 3 kids out into the world, I would much rather send equipped kids out into the world than protected kids. Mm-hmm. But I do think, you know, that a healthy kind of approach to parenting has all 3 of those.
Right.
You know, protection is certainly going to be a piece of it. And especially when our kids are young, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we're heavy on the protection when they're young, but all throughout their childhood, we're modeling for them what it looks like to pursue purity in our lives and admitting mistakes and talking about failures and talking about those things. But, you know, I think a lot of parents are afraid to have these conversations because they're scared to death their kids are going to say, "Well, how'd you do, mm-hmm. your dad?" Yeah. Or "How'd you do, mom?"
Right.
You know, what was it like for you? And, you know, my answer to that question for all 3 of my kids who did ask me that question was, you know, I didn't do so well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there were things in my life that were mistakes that I suffered consequences, that God allowed me to suffer the consequences mm-hmm. of poor choices. But he's forgiven me. Mm-hmm. He's redeeming me. Because here's the thing, and this is the overall message of Pure Hope, and I'll be sure to do this. I want to point my kids to their Redeemer. Mm-hmm. I don't want to point them to dad's accomplishments or mom's accomplishments. Mm-hmm. I want to point them to Jesus. because purity is not a relationship. I'm sorry, purity is not an accomplishment. Mm. Purity is a relationship. And it's a relationship with the one who is pure, the only one who is pure, and that is Jesus. And that's really, if I had to define what purity was and the pursuit of purity, the bottom line is it's a pursuit of Jesus because he is purifying us. Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I love how you said it's this lifelong pursuit of purity. We talked to Julie Slattery with Authentic Intimacy, and she said, just because you get married, you're not all of a sudden automatically, oh, well, now I'm pure, I've made it. Or just because you've made, been a virgin and, you know, maintain your virginity does not equal purity. Mm-hmm. And so I love that.
And that's part of the damage of the purity culture, you know, that a lot of us grew up in is, you know, hey, stay pure until your wedding night.
Right.
As if the wedding night was going to be this magic thing that if I could just white knuckle it to my wedding night, right. I'd be fine.
I think the message for a lot of women too is you're supposed to be this pure woman, and then you get married and you're supposed to turn into a sex goddess somehow. Yes. You're supposed to just magically make this switch, you know, and act as your husband's, you know, sexual methadone so that he doesn't go out and do other dumb stuff. And so I won't rant. We could go forever on how damaging a lot of the messages, now well-intentioned messages, but bad messages and bad theology have hurt us.
Correct.
But I love so much of what you said, and as I'm listening to you, I'm like, man, this is why our ministries have always sort of, you know, since we got to know you, we have been parallel with you in so many ways, because you know, as you talk about protecting and that peace, especially when they're young. You know, we have this graph that we show that's called the protection preparation continuum, right? Where, you know, you start out and you're, you know, the graph is high on protection when they're little. You know, you're putting, you're locking down their devices. You're making it so that accidental finding of porn gets, like you said, we're trying to push that off as many years as we can, right? And this is just talking about porn, and this affects every way we protect our kids, right? But a little by little, we're protecting them less. We're intentionally protecting them less, because what happens is their level of preparation and equipping, right? The ways you're equipping them are going up, and these two sides of the graph are correlated. So as your protection's going down, your preparation's going up. And my dad always says, Dr. Tim Kimmel always says, you know, it's better to raise strong kids than safe kids. Because if your focus is on making your kids safe, you often don't get the strength thrown in there. But if your focus is raising strong kids, emotionally strong, spiritually strong, kids that can process emotions, kids that can communicate, kids that are equipped to take charge of their own pursuit of purity, then you get a safe kid. You know, that makes them safe by default. And so I just love so much of what you said of this three-step, kind of three-pronged approach to parenting in all ways, but especially when it comes to the sexual messages that the world is throwing at our kids and porn. Let's talk about one of the other things that's in the title of this podcast is, how do we talk to our kids about masturbation? When do we talk?
Yeah.
And I'm sure you're going to tell us why we talk to them about it.
Yep. And the why is really easy, and the why is because the world's talking to them about it. Mm-hmm. They're going to hear about it from their friends, and you know what? Kids are curious, and I love that, how God has put that in us, this sense of curiosity. And for so many kids, and I hear this a lot from young parents, you know, what do I do? My son keeps touching himself, or my daughter keeps touching themselves, even at, you know, a very, very young age. Yeah. And I'm like, well, first of all, we recognize a couple of things. One is they're curious. And then number two, God made them a sexual being. Mm-hmm. So yes, at 2 years old, your child is a sexual being. God made them that way. And they're curious. And so I think for a lot of parents, it's a subject of shame, where they're, there's an overreaction, right. And I'll say that, and I think that's true with pornography. I certainly think it's true with masturbation, is that the initial reaction of most parents is an overreaction,
right?
And which then brings in more shame.
Right.
The child probably already feels shame, but now because of the reaction of the parent, it brings in more. And so I think that we can begin that conversation very early with just what it looks like, appropriate touch looks like. Mm-hmm. We've got a tool for parents. We wrote a, during the pandemic, we were talking about this offline a little bit before, we created some more resources. And one of the resources we created was a pocket guide for parents to talking to their kids about sex. And we talk about this very thing in there. And I'll just read you what we wrote in the birth to early childhood part of this when it comes to inappropriate touching themselves or even masturbation, which can happen at a very young age as well. And here's what we said in that piece, and there's lots more in there for this. It says, redirect or gently correct your son or daughter privately if they're touching their own genitals continually or publicly. Emphasize hygiene and the good design, but the private nature of those areas of their body. Mm-hmm. Remember, don't overreact or shame them. They're still learning about their bodies.
Yeah.
And so I think that's just a, number one, it's just an attitude of, if you feel, if your child's touching themselves inappropriate, depending on their age, if they're very young, or even if they're, a mom or a dad catches or sees their child as a teenager masturbating, is just to don't overreact. If you need to remove yourself from that situation to calm down a little bit, do that. Mm-hmm. Because we can heap more shame by that overreaction pretty quickly. But I do think it's important for us to have the conversation with our kids, because I promise you they have questions about it. Even if they've just heard the term, even if they've just heard about it, and Michelle, to your point, if they Google it, they're gonna find lots of information on the internet and through social media about it. And so we need to help them and guide them in that area. And typically, know this as well, typically when you talk about masturbation, pornography is involved, especially as the kids get older.
Yeah.
And rarely is pornography involved that masturbation's not involved. So those two things typically go together. And so we just need to be aware of that as we approach that topic, that we're probably dealing with both issues,
right?
Especially in a child who's, past the age of 10 or 11, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's one of those aspects. And I have parents ask me, we do here at our ministry, well, is masturbation a sin? And that's, at least from my perspective, that's not a straightforward answer.
Absolutely.
Because like you said, it's a normal thing that's part of development, that our kids discover parts of their body that when they touch them, they feel good. They don't know why. They're not connecting, as a very young child, they're not connecting this to sex even, really.
Correct.
So it's just part of them discovering how God made their bodies, and their bodies are good. But as they start to get older, when you do see that, like you said, that correlation between pornography and masturbation, I think that's when you start to get into the conversation about what is God's best for us? What does He desire from us? And it's easy to say it's sin, don't do it. But and that's true. But I think when we focus on sinfulness only, rather than talking about how it isn't about just not sinning, it's about, like you said, pursuing purity. It's about that better vision for who we can be.
Yeah. And I think this goes back to the very first thing we talked about. And our ministry always starts with this: God's better story of sex.
Right.
And when we get to, if we start there,
yeah,
then when we have the conversation about masturbation, we can always go back and say, hey, remember when we talked about God's better story of sex?
Yeah.
And how sex was created for one man, one woman in a lifelong covenant relationship called marriage.
Right.
Like that's where God intends for sexual activity to happen. Mm-hmm. And in that beautiful story, it is a mutual giving. It is a self-giving, you know, and there's lots of things that we could say about God's story of sex, but it's always self-giving. It's never taking. Mm-hmm. It's never selfish. Yeah. And then we can begin talking about masturbation in that light, like helping them see how masturbation doesn't really fit into God's story of sex. Mm-hmm. It's taking. There's no such thing as self-sex in scripture. You know, sex is an act between a man and a woman in a covenant of marriage, and it's not this solo act. Mm-hmm. The other thing, and Karis, I think you're exactly right. I don't ever want to say to my kids that the Bible says something it doesn't say. Mm-hmm. The Bible does not give us clear, you know, masturbation is always sinful or masturbation is, you know, never sinful. It doesn't give us that, but it does give us some really good guidelines.
Yeah.
And so the conversation that I had with my two boys, and my wife had this conversation with our daughter. And so I think it's really important for moms and dads to talk to both their sons and their daughters about this topic, because it is an issue for both. Mm-hmm. But the way that I talked to my boys about this was this. I said, you know, the Bible doesn't say whether or not masturbation is a sin or not, but the Bible does give me some good guidelines that are helpful. So the Bible says to me that lust is a sin. Mm. And so anything that causes me or is the result of lust mm-hmm. in my life for me is sinful.
Right.
And I can't separate masturbation from lust.
Yeah.
And so the Bible gives me some very clear, for me, it's a very clear distinction. Masturbation is sinful for me because it either comes from a place of lust or it leads me to lust. Mm-hmm. And that is sinful.
Yeah.
And so I can talk about the things that the Bible does talk about. And then, you know, I think Romans 14 is a great kind of example for us in this. And we've got to help our, this is part of equipping our kids. It's part of using our own discernment, right? If it's sinful for, if I think it's sinful, then it is sinful for me. Mm. And I, you know, Romans 14, Paul is using food and he's using food and drink as an example, but I think we could apply the same kind of discernment he teaches us in Romans 14 to this issue is that, if in my mind, if it's sinful, then for me to do it, that doesn't mean it's sinful for everyone.
Yeah.
But for me, it is.
Well, and I think the other, you know, clear biblical aspect of this is that we are to have only one God, right? Mm-hmm. And we see this all throughout our lives. But when something starts to own us in a way that only God should, when something starts to govern us and lead us in a way that only God should, when something starts to sit on the throne mm-hmm. of power in our lives where only God should, then for us that is sin. And so, you know, you have people who they can have a glass of wine with dinner. Mm-hmm. They can stop at one. It's pleasurable for them. It's nothing more than that. Mm-hmm. And then you have people who cannot stop, who that one glass of wine at dinner, it becomes more than it needs to be in their lives. And so just like that, I mean, I think you could apply that to masturbation, maybe, you know. Yeah. Well, I'm with you that I don't know how we separate it from lust. I guess that's possible for some people. I think we hold it open-handed and it's much more about our relationship with God and listening to His Holy Spirit than it is about focusing on sin constantly with our kids. It's much more about casting that better vision, telling that better story.
Yeah. Yeah, and as you were speaking, Karis, I was thinking, you know, all things are lawful, but all things are not helpful.
Are profitable, yeah.
All things are lawful, but not, but we shouldn't be mastered by anything, right?
Right?
Mm-hmm. And so that's certainly true. And I think, and you know, that's why I'm very careful when I talk to my kids and when I say to parents, is insert yourself into that.
Right.
Like, don't make a statement that is universal.
Right.
So when I talked to my boys about that, it was, you know, for me, this issue, I can't separate it from lust. And so it is sinful for me.
Yeah.
That's not the same as saying the Bible says this is
right.
sinful.
Right. Yeah.
But as I discern scripture, as I apply scripture to my life, I've come to the conclusion that for me, it is sinful.
Yeah.
And so I want them to have that same discernment. I don't want to tell them that for them it's sinful, but I do want to help them. And I said to them all the time, if you're going to ask me whether or not I think you should do masturbate, my answer is going to be no.
because I think it
sets you up for failure in a number of ways in your life, lust being one of those. But the other is, I was talking to a young man one time who had been masturbating since he was about 13 years old, and I was doing their I was going to officiate their wedding, and so I was doing some premarital counseling, and he and I were talking, and he had been masturbating quite often for the last 12 years. And I said, "Is your plan, you know, are you in your mind thinking you're going to stop doing this when you get married?" Mm. And he said, yeah.
Yeah.
And I said, is that because you think your wife is going to fulfill all those needs? And he said, yes. And I said, how often do you masturbate? And he said, 4 or 5 times a week. Mm-hmm. And I said, so your expectation for the rest of your life is that you and your wife are going to have sex 4 or 5 times a week.
Yeah.
And my buddy, I've been married for 25 years. Let me tell you right now, you know, that's an unrealistic expectation.
Right.
And that's unfair to put that on your wife.
Yeah.
And
again,
and
it's that idea of methadone sex, you know,
correct.
That you're having some, and this can come from both the man and the woman in a relationship, but you have this expectation that your spouse is going to fulfill your addiction and keep
that's
you
right.
from going outside. And that's not how it was designed. That's not, I mean, it's about giving and fulfilling. And I tell you what, as a woman, you know, our bodies are only, if ever, young, hot, perfectly healthy for a very small and not pregnant and not on our periods and not breastfeeding and not going through menopause and not, you know, you can't want the best of us without loving and wanting the whole package. And the whole package of loving a woman is knowing that our bodies are powerful. They do a lot of really cool stuff, but that can really interfere with this expectation that it's just always going to be that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and Dan, real quick, I appreciate that you did speak to this being an issue for both girls and boys.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes you just hear, especially in the Christian, like, boys look at porn, boys will have a problem with masturbation, and I think it's not even talked about how much females can struggle and fall into sin and really have a lot of questions or shame around this topic, too.
Well, and Michelle, I think it speaks to the whole shame issue. Mm. If a woman struggles with this, there's even more shame because we're not talking I shouldn't struggle with this because nobody ever talks about
this. Yeah, because women don't do this stuff.
Right.
And right.
We don't even have good data because we're not even asking the question.
Yes.
You know, but I can tell you, I know women look at porn.
Yeah.
I know women masturbate. I know women who struggle with lust, and it exists, but we're not even asking. Mm-hmm.
And that'll get you a high five in the locker room,
right.
And that will get you shamed on social media as a female.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
So I appreciate you saying that. So, real quick, tell us about your podcast and how people can reach out to you and find you and these awesome resources that you've mentioned.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Our podcast is called A World Free, and you can find it on any of your, you know, major podcast sources, iTunes and all of those. Our website is purehope.net. All of our resources are free downloads. So yeah. I would encourage people to go to the resource page, and that pocket guide that I talked about is a free download on our website.
Parents, go get it. Come on. Yeah. I mean, that is awesome.
Gold. Yeah. Pure gold. I will be downloading that today.
Yeah.
We have one for couples as well. And we have one for pastors and ministry leaders.
Wow.
And really, because I think, you know, for Pure Hope, we want to be a catalyst for conversations.
Yeah.
And we think the more we're having conversations in churches and homes about sex and about these topics, the better.
Yeah.
And the more healthier. And then we also have an app. So you can find that on, you know, depending on your device, the iTunes store or the Google Play store. It's the Pure Hope app, and that's got some great tools on it. It's got some videos, just some short clips of some teachings that we do, and helpful information. So
awesome.
Yeah, thanks for asking.
Yeah, that's a great resource. Thank you. Well,
and then we do have a book coming out.
Exciting. Okay.
In January, we'll be releasing our first book. Yeah.
Yay.
It's called The Pursuit. And it really is foundational to our ministry, the message of our ministry, understanding God's story of sex, and then all these things we've talked about.
I love it.
Well, we are so appreciative to you, Dan, for coming and talking with us today. And we're so grateful for your ministry. Friends, this has been gold. Pure Hope has some great, great resources for you. So go get them. I mean, free. Come on. And so thank you so much for joining us. And listeners, if we can pray for you, if there's any way that we can serve you, please email us at family@gracebasedfamilies.com. If you have ideas for topics for our podcast that you'd like to hear us talk about, we'd love to hear from you, because we want to talk about what you want to talk about. And lastly, if this has helped you, if you enjoy this podcast, if it encourages you, share it. Tell your friends about it. Subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Grace-Based Families podcast. This is part of Grace-Based Families Ministry.
For more resources, check us out on gracebasedfamilies.com/podcast or stream us on all major podcasting platforms.
Once again, this is Karis
and Michelle.
Until next time.